This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
This is episode 127, Coding Games.
Hello and welcome again, hopefully again, to another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin. I'm coming to you live from Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, and I'm delighted to be here with my co-host and good friend, Michael Rowe. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Michael, and, you know, welcome again to the show for the very first time, if you're a very first time listener.
Yeah, if you're a very first time listener, welcome to the show, and thank you for finding us. I hope you enjoy. We've got a cool lineup here today with a few games that have crossed our attention and crossed our feeds, I guess would be the right words to use.
We will
kick it off with one called Codin Game. C-O-D-I-N. Get those codins. So we've had on the show over the lifespan of the show, a few games that have been in the learning space and learning how to develop and learning how to code. Both Michael and I took a quick hack at it this afternoon to get a sense for how it operates. And it uses gamification techniques like many of the other ones do. This one, the metaphor is a defense against an inbound attack of a spaceship coming at you. What were your initial impressions, would you say, Michael, for this game?
Well, two things. One thing that I really liked about it was that the team did a really good job of, at least in the tutorial level, which all I had the chance to look at so far, of identifying lots of different programming languages that you may want to start in. If you remember, gosh, a couple of summers ago, maybe even 3 years ago, we did Code School and the Kickstarter that they did around learning Objective-C and programming for iOS. They had other tools and other things, but the game, each game or lesson was strictly defined within the scope of a single programming language. And it looks like the team over at Codin Game actually has gone about and lets you choose from, 20-odd different programming languages, which I thought was really good because it allows you to focus on, I have some work project I want to do or some opportunity I want to become skilled up for. It's a programming language requirement is to learn program X in order to do it. And then you could take this game and start becoming familiar with many of the concepts of programming language X in what appears to be a pretty fun and competitive way. As you said, the one example we both looked at was really, you know, how do you defend yourself against ships and rocks and other attack vessels coming at you in a space game?
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool. I thought that was a really good way of doing it. And it really, you know, gives you some of those fun challenges that a game would provide in the context of something that's valuable. So I thought it was kind of cool, and I would recommend that people at least, you know, you can test it out and do the early lessons, it looks like, for free with just a simple email sign up. So pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was nice too, and the selection of languages was really good. They claim to have 23 languages at the moment, and each of the games that they have work with any of those languages as you're going through the learning. What we didn't see was the competitive angle that as you progress through the levels, how you can have what appear to be some sort of coding battle with other players on the site.
Yeah, there's code contests. The one on their main page right now is code versus zombies, you know, and there's clash of code, where you use, short little clashes or contests. And I'm looking at it right now, and, there are seven people competing head to head in one that ends in a little over 3.5 minutes.
you know, you got to wonder whether something like this would be great to put up on Twitch, you know, and just have a channel for people competing this way, and you could watch them code their way into success.
Yes, the leaderboard could actually be, you know, like salary. but look, so they have, you know, these short coding sessions, and what I'm seeing on the Clash of Code main page, right, there's a Flash Clash, which is a 5-minute challenge. There's then you take a coffee break, and then you do some reflection. So it's about 35 minutes per session.
Per round,
and those are the different rounds. And you can create what's called a private clash, which appears to where I might be able to maybe challenge you and say, you know, thinking out loud for a second, I've got this really tough problem. Actually, I do have one right now where I can get my Apple Watch to see activities that I'm doing on the iPhone, and you're supposed to be able to use the same technique and flip it and have things on the watch show up on the iPhone, right? So vice and versa. Mm-hmm. But I've only got it working one way right now. So a great private clash would be to challenge somebody to help me figure that one out. And
if you could put a little reward money up for that.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you could crowdsource your way into that, right? You know?
And let me see what other games. There's
Mechanical Turk. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is cool. So the tutorial is the onboarding, which is the spacecraft one. And just, you know, flipping through the easy levels, there's the Power of Thor, the Descent, Skynet, the Chasm, lots of different games names. Chuck Norris. I bet you that one doesn't take crap from anyone. or it's tough as nails. And then you have to, there's two medium ones that are currently unlocked, and you have to complete 100% of 3 easy mode games to unlock the medium games. So it's got the whole unlock mechanic, et cetera, that take you all the way down to, you know, very hard games, like Vox Akodai Redux. Pretty cool. And there's sponsored challenges. I see Nintendo is a sponsor sponsoring coding challenges in the game. So very, very cool. The more I look at it, the more I like it.
Well, that's nice. Well, we may have to dig into it just a smidge more and kind of see how this really, really operates. Now, maybe a little less serious, but very important from your health perspective is your water intake over the course of a day. And I know that for me, I don't drink nearly enough water during the day. I should have much more. Yes. And I'm turning my thoughts and attention to what one of my friends, Zofie, actually shared with me last week. So we were on a hike, and she opened up her phone and was pressing a couple buttons, and I heard a nice little sound of like some water being consumed, and then a little plant being happy. So there's a game called Plant Nanny, which allows you to keep track of the water intake that you're doing in kind of a fun and engaging way, that we were kind of kidding ourselves around a little bit there, that it was basically a water-driven Tamagotchi.
Yes.
and Michael, I know from me sharing it with you, you've installed it already and kind of played with it just a little bit. So what do you think? Is this something that might get you to drink a little bit more water during the day, or maybe not so much?
Well, I've been trying to be very good at that anyway, with all my various quantified self activities that I'm doing. But this one looks kind of cute. Of course, it's a freemium game, which
I know.
Opinion on those.
Well, we share that opinion.
Well, I hate them. it's that simple. But you know, charge me 99 cents or a dollar or whatever for the game, right? Because really, it is about water intake, and the goal is to feed your plant and make it grow and be healthy. And you do that by, you know, you put in your body weight. You say, you know, do you want to track ounces or milliliters, right? And then every time you drink a glass of water, you track it, and you have to hit a certain amount of water based off of your body size.
Right.
But there are different backgrounds, and there's different plants, and you earn seeds if you watch in-app ads. So there's a a packet of seeds. There's different purchase apps to keep your plant from dying because you didn't track your water today. If you drink too much water quickly, it reminds you, hey, you're drinking too much water quickly. And all these kinds of things. And so I can see how this could be good from one perspective, and I can see how they can really make it very naggy from another perspective, and I hope they don't do that. So we'll give it a try for a couple of weeks and see how it is, and whether I like it and whether it's going to work out okay. I like the idea. I like the idea. Not sure I like the fact that there's in-app ads the entire time and that they try to use you, try to get you to watch them in order to get the premium currency. Right? In order to buy the backgrounds or, you know, the water of life or a barrel of seeds, right? All these other things to make the whole thing easier, which detracts from the reason you might use it in the first place, which is to what? Drink more water.
Drink more water. Yeah, you know, exactly. So I'm with you on the freemium style, but it does have a good outcome. And if it's one of these things that generates a little bit more engagement, maybe a little more reminder kind of thing, that would be nice because I do find myself with the Apple Watch standing up more frequently and moving around more. So I kind of wonder if it would, might have an opportunity to kind of connect over to the watch too. And you see your little plant guy growing bigger and bigger, and you can put him on the shelf and have a whole menagerie of plants.
Oh, that's a good idea. Let me check. Let me see if it added a watch app icon. No, it did not.
Maybe not yet.
So now instead of reminding me on the watch that I need to drink some water, which would be a good thing, it's going to have my plant die, which will then encourage me to pay for the in-app purchase. Guaranteed.
There you go. All right, so
I'm cynical enough to believe that.
Plant nanny for those of you who need a Tamagotchi to make a happy little plant. So next on the hit parade is something that I thought was rather intriguing when I first heard about it. And
intriguing,
yes. I mean, I don't personally paint my nails. Michael, do you paint your nails?
Not recently.
So, maybe we'll have a little further conversation off air about that, shall we? This particular,
or maybe I should say, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So this particular company is called Prima Donna. Has a nail printing technology. So basically, the way it operates is you are using your smartphone to print art of your own design onto your fingernails. And the article about it was from NPR, and it was really zeroing in and focusing in on a tech lifestyle coding development environment for girls, which I think has a lot of things to be said for the positive aspects of this, that you could take the application, you could create something brand new and be able to get it on your fingernails and sport a particular look that you designed yourself in a very specific way. And I think that's kind of neat. It's a startup also, kind of like this is, I guess, a bit of a startup show here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there's one link here I didn't click on, but I'd like to see what this looks like. That goes over to the TechCrunch article showing how the art is
actually show the pictures.
Yeah, pictures of what the art looks like on the nails. And this is really pretty cool.
Yeah, especially the puppy.
Yeah, because why not?
That now.
You know?
So the question is, does it just do the color part or did it lay down the white part too?
Good point. One of the other pictures I saw looked like it laid down a background, like the white first, and then was able to do the colors on top of it.
Okay. So it's a multi-pass thing, and I'm wondering what the consumables cost.
Yeah, well, there's probably, you know, some decent dollars for that. The TechCrunch.
$200 for the device. Does not say what the actual consumables are going to cost long term.
But you know what? If you get the 200 in,
then the consumables are reasonable.
You know, if it's like, gosh, what would it need to be? I mean, I don't know what the prices are for.
I don't either. Nails. I mean, is it well? Okay, here's the nail bot is what they're calling it.
Yeah.
I went to their actual page. They don't say. I don't see an obvious place of where they're saying what the individual. What the amounts are for the different colors. Because it's, you know, it's multicolor ink is what you're seeing. So you're probably thinking at least three or four different consumables.
Right. At least three or four. You're right. And then, and gosh, if you're doing white, then that's going to consume a fair amount too, right? Because you're having, well.
Well, unless white is one of the colors.
Unless white is one of the colors, right.
And then it may be even more.
It says it's using Hewlett-Packard's thermal technology. So, and it's an inkjet, but eventually we'll use actual nail polish. So I guess this is not quite, you know, describing just yet exactly how it's going to use what kind of consumables there. But I think the other piece that is important is that using inkjet ink is not going to last very long on nails because, you know, they have to stand up quite a bit. But if they are using high quality, nail polish, then that could last for quite a long time, especially if the nozzle that's delivering the ink or the nail polish to the fingernail is sufficiently fine. You could do some really slick stuff with this.
Yeah. Could be very interesting.
Yeah. And according to the TechCrunch article, they're saying that they're looking to get the price point down by half within a couple of years.
Well, you have somebody at home who might want this.
I can imagine the Lacey nail bot. So it's a $199 thing. Smartphone's back camera and prints full color art on nails in a few seconds. Oh, here, the only thing you have to do is prime your nail with white polish.
So it uses that to lay down the paper view.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So you're preparing on top of it.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
So now we know. So interesting. Use of technology, and the NPR article on this particular element was really highlighting how this could make coding and hacking and changing the environment could be something that draws more girls into tech. So it wouldn't be just, hey, take a picture of your favorite puppy and have that show up on your nail. It could be, how do I put other things on there and make something more specific?
How do I hack it so that it uses lasers to etch a design into the nail?
Yeah.
And burns off the top layer of your skin.
No. Let's not do that. All right. No, so moving right along. We've got one more
on this that fast-paced, exciting episode.
Yeah, I don't know if we're really fast paced. I mean, we're moving at the speed of ink, right? You know? Yes. We're watching nails dry. The last one we have here is yet another Kickstarter kind of element. And this one attracted my attention because I've always been a big fan of MST3K. And apparently, there is a Kickstarter moving on right now. Look to raise $500,000 in order to get a new season of MST3K, which when you think about the production, $500,000 is a lot of money. And not only did they ask for $500,000, not only did they get $500,000, they've already managed to get $1.6 million as of the time of the recording of this show with still a month ago.
1.632778.
Roughly.
To be exact.
Yes. I guess they want to do some new doors there to open up the movie. And they want to do 12 full-length, feature-length movie episodes.
Very cool.
This is awesome. Joel. I love Joel.
Yes, for those who are not familiar with what the Mystery Science Theater was all about... It was, it just went up again. A guy who is shot into space and he is stuck on a spacecraft with a bunch of old movies and he builds some robots as companions and watches old movies and makes fun of them. And so the whole idea is you get to watch these old, campy, kitschy 1950s, 1960s sci-fi movies with the shadows of the host and his two robot companions overlaid on part of the screen as they talk about the movie.
And so usually the movies are terrible.
Well, if it's one of your favorite movies, you may not appreciate when they make fun of it. Not that I found a single one that fit into that category. yeah. Good stuff if you like snark and you like comedy, and even if you like old movies.
Yeah, so I'm checking this right now, so it's not, you know, they weren't looking for $500,000. They were looking for $2 million. So yes. my bad. So not quite $2 million yet. So you could actually contribute and you could help make the $2 million goal become real. And with $2 million, according to the pitch, that will create 3 episodes of MST3K.
Yes. And I assume part of that is production cost. Part of that is the actual cost to license the movies that they're making fun of. Part of its distribution. It's not cheap.
Yes. Yes.
And, yeah, there's interesting. I'm always amazed on the way the, Kickstarter people will price out their pledge benefits. And how they're really trying to, you know, eke out as much value as they can from people to make them feel valuable, make them feel that they're getting something special by being a sponsor of the Kickstarter. I mean, right now, if they can make $5.5 million, they'll do 12 episodes. The $2 million will only get them 3 episodes. If you look down under goal 1.
And now, if you were to only contribute $6,500 or more, you could have your inside joke be included in one of the movies.
Yes, and for $10,000, you get the you're the god. You get listed as an executive producer for the entire season.
Wow.
And you'll get a phone call to say thank you.
Oh, that's pretty. Oh, in a director's chair.
Yeah. And an episode credits. You'll be on IMDb, which is nice, right? Please note, it actually costs $25,000, which is more than the maximum that Kickstarter allows us to collect. If you claim this reward, we'll follow up with you ASAP to arrange for the rest of it.
So the pledge. Yeah, that's, and there's only funny. 2 left of 2 for that one.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. They have different levels of that one.
Yeah.
All 3 are gone of the 10K, the master of MSTK, 3K ones. Where you get listed as a writer. So, yeah, again, just looking at how this is parsed out and how they try to capture the value in order to make sure that they can actually deliver on what they're trying to do. And I do find it interesting on the difference between kind of the creative ones where you're really not building something, you're not trying to invent a new thing, but you're taking advantage of the history of an event or a product, you know, like people taking old games and trying to re-release them in a new form, et cetera, versus,
right.
You know, like the very first Kickstarter that I backed that still has not completed, which was a authorized video by a documentary about a band. And the producer of that is having creative differences with the people in the band. And so now it's 3+ years later and they still haven't been able to deliver. And there's a lot of
yep.
anxiety and angst and frustration by people. Had he said, you know, I'm going to do one, and if I can get it authorized, that's fine. And if not, I'm going to do it anyway. He probably could have released the movie by now. but because it's authorized, it's not been released, and he didn't ask for enough funding to really survive this long.
Maybe so.
So it's really interesting. I like this. This is cool. We'll have to see. So are you going to back it as an MST3K?
Yeah.
MST3K.
I'm thinking about which of the $10,000 ones I really want to do.
Oh, yeah. And then when you go to which ones that you're actually going to be able to afford, I think there's like a $10 one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to, you know, go back. Oh, but there's you can get some exclusive wallpapers and ringtones.
Exactly.
Those would be fun, too.
Very cool. Very cool.
Awesome. Fun stuff. Love it. So with that, I think, Michael, we're probably at that point in the show where we're asking one another, what games are you playing? So, Michael, what games are you playing?
Well, pretty much the same ones. However, we did join up together in the Star Wars Uprising game.
Yep.
And now we're both members of the same, it's not called a clan. What's it called?
A guild?
It's not called a guild. It's not called a squad.
Group?
We'll call it a group. And I'm still not quite up to the same level you are, but I'm getting close.
Yep. I've been noticing that, and you're working your way up. So very,
slowly,
very proud of
but
you.
Surely. Just don't have enough time to spend to do it quickly.
Yeah, I know. It requires a connection to the net, which is always just heaps of fun, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. What about yourself? What are you playing right now?
Pretty much the same things too. I'm still playing Shooty Skies, which I think is fun. And I wrote the blog post around Crossy Road.
Yes.
Playing on the Apple TV. So that's not me so much. That was my kids, and just the peals of laughter from them when one of them was pushing the other one in front of a car was just too funny. I mean, that was just way too funny.
Very
so,
funny.
Yeah.
So are you enjoying the Apple TV?
Installed it, got it set up, and then went out of town for a few days. So I have not fired it back up recently. But I will tell you, I am enjoying all get out the screensavers, which are just fantastic. You know,
yeah. Did you download them onto your Mac?
Not yet, but I did read about the JSON files that you can go get and
yep.
pull them down. So that
yes.
looks I'm planning on doing that too, because that it's just I love that. It's just awesome.
Yeah, it's I'll put the link to that in the show notes for everyone, because you can actually download the screensaver on your Mac, and I mean they are gorgeous, because I don't really think of a screensaver as something I need on a TV.
Yeah.
If the TV's on, I'm watching it. So.
Yeah. Unless you walk out of the room, and then you're not.
Well, then I turn it off.
Oh.
If I'm not watching it.
Maybe so.
Well, great.
It should be a lot of fun. I'm yep. looking forward to playing with it a little bit more this weekend, too.
And we want to, you know, again, thank our good buddy and friend, Epred, for being on the show last week. Hope everyone's had a chance to start reading his book. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, Ian is fantastic, and I know he's working hard on the next one already. So
yes.
he's motivated.
Well, so. Great, everybody. And we hope you all have a great week. Drop us your show ideas, links, recommendations. Do us a favor. Go to iTunes and actually drop a comment about the show. It really helps in improving the visibility of the show and getting more listeners, which allows us to get more things to talk about for you.
And with that, I think we'll just say see ya.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.